scripture is read from two places. The first is in the book of Acts, the 20th chapter of Acts. The second will be from 1 Peter chapter 5. The first reading is in the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, officially titled the Acts of the Apostles, affectionately known as the Acts of the Holy Spirit. The mighty things that he accomplished on the basis of the resurrection and the ascension of the Lord Jesus. 20th chapter of Acts. Paul will be addressing a people he has loved and worked with for a significant period of time and now has to depart from them. He's giving them some closing exhortations. These are the members and elders from the church at Ephesus. He spent a number of years in Ephesus. He's on his way to Jerusalem. But he has some helpful exhortations that form for us the background and the basis when we think of the duties, the obligations, the things that elders are responsible to do. Our reading is verses 25 through 32 of the 20th chapter of Acts, portion of Paul's exhortation to the Ephesian elders. Paul is speaking as we begin to read in verse 25 of Acts 20. And indeed, I know that among you, that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, will see my face no more. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also, from among yourselves, men will rise up speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among those who are sanctified. Another sample of the duties of elders from 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, verses 1 through 4. Drawing near to the conclusion of Peter's first epistle, we notice the metaphors that he uses are very similar to what Paul had mentioned about the flock, about sheep. Verses 1 through 4, the 5th chapter of 1 Peter. 1 Peter 5, verse 1. The elders who are among you, I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. The duties of the elder. Elders are vital to the congregation, to its life, to its whole ministry. And so the Lord from earliest times had given men gifts and they were recognized as elders. We had looked at the importance of elders this morning. We're seeking to study this doctrine in a very brief fashion so that our thoughts would be clear and that we would be united in our intentions as we seek to serve the Lord. We thought of 7 reasons why elders are important, why the office is valuable. It's an office that has a long established, that is long established and that is ancient. God has used this throughout the generations. It's an office that is given as a gift of God to the church. It is an office where men are set apart by special ordination. It's an office by which there are necessary qualifications. It is an office with great authority as the elders act on behalf of the Lord. It is an office that is accountable to God. Elders are accountable to God for their work. And it is an office of great practical value to the people of God. So what's an elder supposed to do? What will we expect him to accomplish? So we'll think about the duties of an elder. Since the office is so important, we should expect that the elders would have a very wide and far-reaching duties. Too many have devalued the office of an elder. Many of the Lord's people do not realize the extent of the influence and the authority of the elder in the church. And one sermon cannot possibly set before us all the duties, all the responsibilities of an elder. Our study necessarily will be incomplete. But I hope it sets before you a framework by which you can expect elders to be evaluated and by which elders will be answerable to the Lord. One of the strongest analogies in the scripture for the elder in the congregation is that likening it to a shepherd and his sheep. We've sung that in the Psalms, we've read that in the two scripture passages. The word pastor comes from a Latin word that would mean shepherd. A shepherd is a pastor. Pastor is the shepherd of his flock. He is the man who is set apart as a teaching elder, as a minister, as our pastor. But our pastor, Reverend Knodel, would not be the only pastor among the people of God. God will call other men to labor along with him. The primary pastor is not the only under-shepherd in a well-functioning church. Christ is the good shepherd, the chief shepherd, the one to whom we are all answerable. But there are also a number of under-shepherds in every congregation. And all elders together with the minister are the shepherds of God's people. In what we read from Acts chapter 20 and 1 Peter 5, the analogy of shepherd and his sheep comes before us. Paul speaks of the elders to the church in Ephesus. In verse 28, he said, "Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood." All of the elders have pastoral duties. The man called as pastor will have specific and more refined duties, but all elders have pastoral duties. In 1 Peter 5, verse 2, Peter speaks to the elders in the church of Asia Minor. He says to them, "Shepherd the flock of God which is among you." The elder is to be a shepherd. The church is described as the flock of sheep, and elders are to take care of those sheep. On some other occasion, we might think of the qualifications to be an elder, but here now we're thinking of the duties of an elder. And to make it simple and memorable, I have three levels by which three duties that an elder functions, three things that the scriptures principally teach the elders are responsible to do. We're drawing from the picture of the Eastern shepherd as he cares for his flock. What are elders to do as shepherds? Elders lead the flock. Elders feed the flock. Elders keep the flock. Three major duties of a shepherd: to lead, to feed, and to keep. The first duty, elders lead the flock. In the East, sheep are not driven behind, but are led from the front. Ordinarily, you see dogs moving around behind the sheep, or a shepherd moving behind the sheep. But in the East, the shepherd always went ahead. The shepherd goes first, and the sheep follow the shepherd. The beauty of Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd who leads me beside still waters, as well as leading me through the valley of the shadow of death. The shepherd leads his sheep, and the sheep are following. In John 10, Jesus speaks of the shepherd, and he says, he calls his own by name, and he leads them out. Jesus speaks of himself as leading his people. He goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. The shepherd leads. He goes ahead of the sheep. He is in advance of the sheep. The sheep are following the shepherd who is leading them. That's the picture found in Scripture. That's the responsibility of the elders in the church. Whether it's the pastor or those who are called to assist him, they are to lead in the things of the Lord. How? How does an elder lead? Well, he does not lead by a great show of authority, although he has great authority. He is not to lead by bullying the sheep, or by driving the sheep, or shouting at the sheep. We have part of the answer in 1 Peter 5, verse 3, where Peter says, not lording it over those entrusted to you. The elder is not to be strutting about among the people of God, filled with pride because he is the elder. He is not to behave like a boss or a manager. He is not to lord it over the people of God who are entrusted to him. They are not his sheep. They are God's sheep. He is caring for them on behalf of his master. He too is a servant. Peter says, don't lord it over those entrusted to you. Peter goes on and says, be examples to the flock. That's how an elder is to lead. He leads by force of example. The elder's duty is to be a pattern of godliness. He is to be a pattern or example of Christ-likeness in every area of life, in worship, in prayer, in ministry, in the life of the congregation. The elder is to be an example in his home, in his dealings with people. He is to be an example. In his love of the Lord, he is to be an example so that people can follow him without fear. They should be able to imitate and copy the elder. They should be able to walk in his footsteps. Now, sometimes you hear people say, don't follow me, follow Christ. Well, initially that might sound noble, pious, spiritual, but it's not biblical. The Apostle Paul says, follow me as I also follow Christ, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. If a minister or an elder would say, don't follow me, you should say, why? Where are you going that I can't go? What are you going to do that I shouldn't follow you? Likewise, it's the responsibility of father and mother in the home to live in such a way that the children can follow them. If a parent says, don't do what I do, do what God wants you to do, the child should ask, why are you not doing what God wants you to do? We have that responsibility. As far as a sinner can do it, to live in a way such that our children can safely follow us and imitate us. We who are elders can't brush off with a pious cliche and say to the congregation, don't follow us. We should say with the balance that Paul has, follow us in as far as we are seeking to follow Christ. We don't do it perfectly. There are ways in which you should not follow us, yet we must recognize the responsibility to set an example. The elder must go ahead of the people. That is his duty. What a blessing it is to have men in the congregation, men who are examples of godliness. The elder leads by his example. The elder also leads by his vision. He knows where the congregation should be going. He knows where he wants to lead the people. He knows the direction that the congregation should be developing in the years ahead, and he's prepared to lead them. An elder is a man who wants to see the church headed in a particular direction. He has the goal or destination in mind. He can say to the people, "This is where God wants us to go. Come with me." It's not a static thing. He doesn't lead people to stand still. He's going in a direction. There's progress. There's development. By example and by vision, the elder leads the flock. Elders feed the flock. Elders feed the flock. Our Lord, who is our great shepherd, makes us lie down in green pastures, Psalm 23, verse 2. It's the responsibility of the shepherd to see that the sheep are well fed. The food for the people comes chiefly from the pulpit, from the elder who gives himself full time to teaching. Even that food is the responsibility of the ruling elders. It is the elders' responsibility to see that the food is pure. They are to make sure that the minister is teaching the scripture and bringing the truth to the people. Too many branches of the church throughout the last century, the people have been fed food that is not pure. Men have entered the pulpits who do not believe the Bible and who do not preach the gospel. It's a horrible indictment that the elders did not have the courage or the ability or the understanding to rise up against that and to protest. It's the custom of the Free Church of Scotland to have the elders sit in the front. When the preacher leaves the pulpit, he is expected to shake the hand of each elder. If an elder doesn't shake his hand, that pastor's in trouble. It's a sign of authority, of the authority of the presbytery through the eldership over the ministry of the Word of God, Free Church of Scotland. It's up to the elders that the food that the minister is giving to the people is suitable and that he is speaking in a language that the people understand. He must not preach over their heads. He must give the people a balanced diet. Every preacher has his own interests and his own imbalance in character. Some are too stern. Some preach the law too much. Other men don't preach the law at all. Some are very heavy on theology and too light on practice. And some are just the opposite. We all have imbalances. And so it's valuable to have colleagues who know the people, who know the society, and they are able to tell the preacher whether or not he is communicating with the people. The elder is in a unique position to evaluate the teaching ministry. The elder himself must feed the people. The elder needs to talk about spiritual things with the people. You should expect your elders to come and talk to you about your soul, about your relationship with the Lord. Your elders should be interested to know how you're growing in your Christian life. The Good Shepherd has given you elders to care for you. The elder should be able to use his Bible. He may not be able to preach in public, but he should be able to point the way of salvation from the Word of God. He should be able to point you to verses that will help you. He should be able to share from his own Christian experience. He should be able to encourage those who have little appetite or who are neglecting the means of grace. The burden of responsibility rests on the teaching elder, the pastor, but all the elders share that duty that the people are well fed. If the pastor is not feeding the people adequately, it is the responsibility of the elders to tell him so lovingly, privately, clearly. They cannot avoid this duty because they share the responsibility. If there is a bad or ineffective ministry, the Lord will ask the elders, "What did you do about it? How did you help your minister? Did you offer him advice? Did you counsel him?" If a minister doesn't receive the counsel, if he becomes angry, that is his responsibility. But the elder has his responsibility for feeding the people. Elders lead the flock. Elders feed the flock. Elders keep the flock. Elders keep, or they protect the flock, the third very valuable duty of an elder. Sheep are very vulnerable creatures. That's why they need shepherds. And Paul says in Acts 20:29, "For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock." The psalmist says in Psalm 23:4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." The elder keeps the sheep in several ways. Believers need to be warned and instructed about false and harmful doctrines. The church needs to have a negative and a critical ministry. This is not popular. We are told that we must always be positive, but the Bible is not always positive. Jesus spoke some very searing rebukes to the leaders of Israel, calling scribes and Pharisees hypocrites, blind guides, fools and blind, serpents, brood of vipers. Matthew 23. Paul says that if anyone preaches any other gospel, let him be accursed. Galatians 1:9. We need to teach people why certain things are wrong. We need to point out the errors of the cults and the perversions in the church. From time to time, in order to protect the flock, we have to be negative and critical. When something is wrong and contrary to Scripture, it must be condemned. And when we rebuke error and false doctrine, do not think that the ministry is unloving. It is part of our love for you and our responsibility for you to point out poison and perversion so that you can avoid it. Sheep need to be kept from wolves. There are wolves that are always trying to enter the sheepfold. Doctrinal wolves, moral wolves. There are people who would come into the church who would not be a blessing to the church. They may be unconverted, or they might be divisive. They may try to divide the church, to stir up jealousy and distrust. It is the responsibility of the elders to keep the congregation safe and united. Elders have to have a critical eye so that they can see the wolf in sheep's clothing. Because elders care for you, they can't allow anyone to be a member without an appropriate examination. Paul tells us to protect the sheep against the wolves. Some of the wolves are very well disguised. Sheep need help with their own spiritual illnesses. Perhaps a member has a characteristic that is harming his Christian witness. Elders need to come and talk to him about it and try to help him. Perhaps a member reacts in an unbiblical way to some pressure or some difficulty. The elders should help him with that. We have to keep you and protect you from your own sins. None of you are perfect. All of us need help from time to time. You need the help of shepherds who are patient, understanding, and loving. And those are the kind of men that you should choose. Elders that will keep you. This is the most difficult part of the duty of elders. We know ourselves how much help we need. We know something about our many mistakes which we have. And it is extremely difficult to go to another person and talk to them about their faults. There's always a little voice inside us asking, "But what about your faults?" It is very difficult. There is always the fear that the other person will be offended and become angry. There is the fear that elders will be unpopular and that others will say malicious things against us. There is a fear that is, and there is the fear that what is intended to help will only hurt and cause division in the congregation. There is a tremendous temptation for the pastor and for the ruling elders to neglect this duty. Will we allow anything for a quiet life? If elders love you, they have to take care of you. Jesus said, "The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep," John 10:11. We have to take the risk of you being angry with us. We have to love you more than our reputation. We have to love you more than our popularity. We have to love you more than our peace of mind. If we really care for you, elders will have the courage to come and deal with you. We have to hope that you will see the love that we have behind those dealings. The shepherd keeps the sheep. He protects the flock at the risk of his own life. And when shepherds are afraid to care for the sheep, they may be popular, but the sheep will suffer. There are men in our presbytery, ministers and elders, who are suffering because they do not have the courage and the love to try to deal with the sins of their own people. There are others who have tried to care for the people and to help them with sinful issues, and they have been bitterly resented. Of such elders, we should honor them and pray for them. The elder leads the flock. The elder feeds the flock. The elder keeps the flock. As we review these basic duties, we who are elders ask for your forgiveness for our many failures. Not one of us has served you as well as we should have. We ask for God's forgiveness. We ask for his enabling grace to love you tenderly. We ask for courage and compassion. We ask that we might be strong in the defense of truth and sweet in our manner. We ask that we would pay careful attention to ourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made us overseers for the care of the Church of God. These are the duties of the elders. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we commit our thoughts unto you. We thank you for the variety of passages that speak about your people as the congregation likened to a flock of sheep. And that those who lead, who are called to lead, are to act as shepherds with great interest in the sheep, leading them in the paths of righteousness, feeding them with good and sumptuous food, and keeping, protecting them, providing for them against the onslaught of wolves, of bears, of all kinds of predators who would seek to attack the sheep. Father, thank you for giving us such an eloquent metaphor, such an eloquent word picture of a shepherd and the sheep. And we're struck all the more with the dignity that belongs to our Lord Jesus, who could describe himself most accurately as the Good Shepherd. According to his example, we all long to follow in accuracy and truth and clarity. And having set before us the Great Shepherd, you also call among your people other shepherds to take care, to feed, to lead, to keep your people for the sake of your glory and of your honor. The church is your flock. It does not belong to any of the officers. It belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, those who are officers have great responsibility to the King of Kings, to serve and to love and to guard and to keep those that you have brought unto yourself. Grant that this congregation might see a genuine growth in grace and an outpouring of your gifts, that those who may be called to the office of elder would be given great humility and great zeal, that your people would be led in truth and righteousness, drawn to grow and to be strengthened and to be a light and to be salt in the community around us. Grant, Father, that the elders that you would elect would give the encouragement, the sustenance, the food unto the people, would guard the pastor, would strengthen him and protect him, giving him encouragement every time, that he might be all the more bold to speak the word of God in accuracy and in clarity. And grant that those who are elected would be very protective of your people, acknowledging that we ourselves are sinners and that the people have tendencies to err, yet we must all follow after the Good Shepherd, be corrected in our lives, be drawn back from pits, be freed from snares and brambles, be soothed, to be washed, to be cleaned, to be brought into the sheepfold for protection. Father, we thank you for the work of the ministry that has already begun among us and for the evident gifts of our pastor. Grant unto him men who will assist him, who will strengthen him, who will protect him, who will lead this congregation in a way that honors the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask for your mercies. We ask for your gifts. In Jesus' name, amen.